Now for the benediction. Everybody glad to be here?
Amen.
All right. Let me make sure that you're out there. Just checking. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. Well, let's go to 2 Chronicles first. I mean, Corinthians first. I'll get this right in a minute. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Find that. Put your finger there. Hold that for just a moment. And then turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Everybody here? Ready to hear from the Lord? Well, let's stand and honor him as we read his word. Peter speaking said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray this morning that you would move in the midst of the people. May you stir our hearts this morning, Lord. Draw us to you. Refresh us and renew us. Lord, oh, how we need renewing. On every hand, Lord, we need a revival. We need, Lord, together, praying together, caring together, working together. May we labor in the kingdom of God. Lord, as I bring this message this morning, I pray you'd open our ears that we might hear. I pray, Lord, that you'd stir my heart today. Anoint me, Lord, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, so that the message I bring today, Lord, would be the message from you, not me. I pray this day that it would prick our hearts, Lord, not only for the things that you have given us, but for the hope that is in you. Help us, Lord, to love you more than ever before. Help us lean on you more than ever before. Help us to trust you more than ever before. And Lord, we'll honor you in what you do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I guess Fred was probably thinking I was going to be long-winded today. But surprise, Fred, I'm not. We're going to do the invitation right now. No, I'm kidding you. I want to bring you the message today on the promises of God. And I don't have all of them because I just don't have them all the promises. But I'm going to give you some promises this morning that I believe will help us in our everyday life. Life is so difficult right now, isn't it? Whether true or not, life is complicated. Everything we do, we're on guard about. Even our relationship with him. I don't know, in my life, I've at 67 years old, and in 40-some years of serving God, I never seen anything that was so devastating against God's people as what God's people is facing today. We're afraid. And for rights, we should be. We should be afraid. We should be cautious. We should take care of ourselves and our families and our friends and even those that we do not know. But doing the way things have been going over these 12 months now, almost, getting right at it, a couple of weeks, it'll be 12 months that this has devastated people's lives. Things that have got folks that are so burdened by what's happening and what they see happening within their family. I saw yesterday some that had been separated for some time, and they were so glad to be able to be back together because of the sickness. And sometimes we forget that we do have things that are hard that come in our lives. But I drive by churches, and I don't know of a single church this morning, nowhere, that is not hurting. They're hurting in every aspect. They're hurting in attendance. They're hurting in worship. They're hurting in ministries. They're hurting in giving. They're hurting in every area. I think we forgot what the promises of God are. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have a hope that is not in the circumstances of life. Our hope is in a person. Because that's what that word really means, hope. It's not a wishful thinking of Santa Claus. It is just simply a promise of God that is as if it's already done, because it's connected not to the events, but to the Savior. It's like a rope. You know, when the astronauts go out on a spacewalk, they are tied to the ship with a rope. That's what this hope is. No matter how far we astray, no matter how far we go, no matter what the circumstances of life, we still have that connection with God. We live in a day when every one of God's people, we should be on our knees. We should be asking God, help us. Because I can tell you, nobody has the answers. Nobody does. The greatest minds in the world don't have the answers. The only one who has the answers is Jesus Christ. And he's the only one nobody wants to hear from. And he is the only one that has the answers. See, I don't know about you, but my life was a mess. I was a sinner. And God intervened in my life and changed me. How about you? I look out and I see the ones that are embracing. And I know we have to be careful, because some are extremely volatile to this sickness. But we can still worship God. We can depend on the promises of God, because he gives them. Has anybody here ever had a promise made to you that was not kept? Anybody? Just a few of you, huh? Well, let me tell you, I've had one or two, at least, promises made that was broken. And all of us in here have experienced that. And things could be going good, and still those promises are broken. But when things are bad, and we are uncertain, and our hearts are filled with fear, I'm telling you, there is one who has promised us some things that we can hold on to. We can hang on to those things that he says. And here in the scripture we just read, listen to what he says. He said that he has given this to us, these promises, that we might be a divine partaker of his nature. God has made some promises to us so that we might be partakers of him and his own nature. In other words, the way he is and how he thinks and what he does, because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be had the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're supposed to have his mind. And he says, I've given you these promises so that you can be like me. We can have the confidence that Christ had in the Father, whom he never, ever, ever broke a promise to. He was faithful in every aspect of his life because he had one purpose, and that was to glorify God. If we could just get to that place where our only purpose of living is to glorify him. If we could get there in our lives, man, how much better would we be? There would be none of this uncertainty. Or we would be, like Paul said, whether living or dead, it's Christ. Whichever way it is, it's Christ. So I want us to look at some things that he has promised us. So there's a lot of scripture. Now listen, I was going to preach this morning on preparing to meet God. And this morning, about 5 o'clock, he changed that message and gave me this right here. So we're going to have a shot at it. First of all, in all that we do, in all that we have, he has promised us life. He has given us life. And that life is not just breathing. That life is a life that is awareness of Christ. It is a life that's only able to be lived out whenever we are living it out in Christ. Because we cannot even have life except we have Christ, because the Bible says that he is life. It says that if we have the Son, we have life. If we don't have the Son, we don't have life. Listen, there's no substitute. There's no substitute for him. There's no substitute for the church. What did Jesus do on the seventh day? In the temple. What did the apostles and the believers after resurrection, what did they do on the first day of the week, Sundays? What did they do? They come together. There is power in the church. Power in the church. And we are staying away. You know, if my car starts getting low on gas, you know what I do? I go get some gas put in it. You know? When my spiritual tank gets empty, which is about Tuesday afternoon, I crank up and I go to the place that gives life, to the one that gives life. There's nothing like being in God's house to experience the life that he has given us. The church is where the church meets. When we look at the scriptures and study the scriptures, yes, they did have houses that they met in. But that was the only church in town. Ephesus, Philippi, all those towns where Paul wrote the letters to were churches. When they got where they could, more come together. When they got where they couldn't, all meet together. Guess what done? They expanded. Life, if we want to experience it, is this. It is Christ. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me, Jesus said. If you want life, then follow me. If you don't want life, don't worry about it. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. God's economy is not like ours. It don't work like ours does. I'm thinking, if I want life, I better enjoy it now. I better get all, as the old advertisements you say about the beer, I want, got to get all the gusto there is in life. But the truth is, Jesus said, the only way we're going to have life is to lose all that and to follow Him. The only way. Now, I know that we enjoy life. I know that things are fun to do. I like being around family, but I'm telling you what. When we're around family and we are full of Christ, we can really enjoy their company. You know? If we are filled with Christ because we are following Him. Now, following Him is unique. You ever followed someone when you're going somewhere and you're behind them and you're following them? That's a bad place to be, isn't it? They get way ahead of you, you get way behind them, or you're in and out and you get cut off, you know, or you take the wrong road and they're gone, you know. We done that one night. I was following my father-in-law, and we were going around, boom, and I saw the sign where we were supposed to turn. And I turned. Well, he was about 10 car lengths ahead of us, and he went by it. We spent probably 3 or 4 hours trying to reconnect back. He didn't have cell phones. He had brought his walkie-talkies with him. So we were around there. Where you at? I don't know. I don't see. Following someone can be a disaster. It was that night, weren't it, one? We finally did get back together. But we had lost a lot of opportunity. Same way with following Him. If we get sidetracked, if we get going the wrong way, if we make the wrong turn, we can find ourselves in a difficult place in life. And it is so easy. It's easy to lose hope in something or someone you cannot see. But when we're following Him, He is so visible to you. When our hearts is sold out to Him, He is so visible to us. We can almost see Him with our natural eye, but we can certainly see Him with our spiritual eyes. We can hear Him with our spiritual ears when we follow Him. But if we're not following Him, it's like a friend that you've not seen in many years and had no contact. You don't know whether he's real, alive, or dead. And that's the way it is with God. The only way to find life is to follow Him. That sounds crazy, don't it? It's right backwards from what you would think. I would think if I want to have life, then do it right now because it's not going to be long. I'm going to be out of this world. But He said, no. Even when you're young, you follow me. Then you will have life. Jesus said, I came into this world that I might give life and that I might give it more abundantly. If we don't follow Him, who are we following? If we follow our own sinful hearts, we're following the father of sin, the father of lies, the one that has come into this world to do nothing but to kill and to steal. That's who we follow. And Jesus said, follow me. We have to understand, if we're going to have the abundant life, it's going to be because we are sold out to Him. I've been on both sides of the fence. And believe me, they say the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But I'm telling you, the green grass that He leads us to beside the still waters, it's real green there if we just follow Him. Just give Him our all. And that's hard to do because there's so many pulls on us today in the world we live in. Everywhere we look, there's a challenge to your faith. Everywhere we look, you are because you're a Christian, you are looked down upon. You're the only one in our nation that people publicly, openly, and in public view on TV can make fun of you, and it's all right. Anyone else? It can't happen. If you have that big C in front of your name, you're a mark. You're a mark for the devil. You're a mark for society. You are a mark for everything, everybody, every institution. But he gives us life. A good life. Then he gives us something new, something great. He gives us acceptance. Have you ever been standing in the crowd when you were getting ready to play football and choosing sides? They do that at school a lot. And the guys who are the superheroes of sports, they say, I take him, 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 or her, her, and her. And that little scrawny guy that can't throw a basketball and hit the side of a barn if the door was closed and they were standing on the inside of it. Bless their heart, they're always standing waiting. And nobody picks them. And you know what it does? At that moment, it crushes their little hearts. Crushes their hearts. And they think, nobody cares. Nobody likes me. I'm not able to do anything. I am worthless. And their life gets in a mess. They do all kinds of stuff to try to get someone to pay attention to me. Look at me. I'm hurting and I need someone to care about me. Let me tell you something. You've got somebody that cares. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, listen, Jesus said this, I will accept you. You're having difficulties in life. You're surrounded with fear. You feel like nobody cares. Nobody loves you. Let me tell you, God loves you no matter who you are, what you are, or where you are. And he will accept us. We come to him, we're all broken. And I'm telling you what, we're still broken. Because without him, we are just broken people. But with him, we have been made whole in Christ. And he accepts us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us there. He wants to move us on. Get a little better relationship. Get to know him a little more. Because he cares. Listen to what the Bible says. John 6, 37 through 39. Jesus speaking here. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. All that God will give me will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He says, listen, I care. And if the Father have given you me or given you to me, I won't cast you out. I won't run you off. He said, I have lost nothing. Jesus said, those that the Father gave me, I've not lost a one. Why? Because he cares. And I know that sometimes we get our measurement of what is worthy of heaven and what ain't worthy of heaven. And guess what? We get messed up because we always leave ourselves in the worthy part. And the truth of the matter is there's nobody in the worthy part. Not a single soul. All of us without Christ is destined for hell. But we have Christ living within us, and he gives us everything that we have. Here, these scriptures right here that we just read, it's Christ assures that if we would just believe. He didn't say you had to be a superstar. He didn't say you had to be a Billy Sunday, a D.L. Moody, He didn't say you had to be a Billy Graham. No, he said, come. Come to me. I will give you rest. I will take you just like you are, and it don't matter what you've done, where you've been, if you will just believe on me, you can have life. You can be accepted. And the wonderful thing about that, we don't have to do a thing for it. He does everything. He does everything. So what do we do when we accept him? I remember, you know, whenever, anybody ever had a job that when you got the job, you just didn't show up because you didn't want to accept the job? You don't see many people like that, but there's some out there. Christ says, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. And the wonderful thing about this is a promise of God. It's a promise of God. He cannot tell a lie. He cannot or will not break a promise. He is the all-knowing, all-supreme, Almighty God, who knows the very end as he knows the beginning. So he is able to keep his promise. If we just come to him, we'll find him waiting for us with open arms. Can you just see him standing there? Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he began to weep. And he said, if you would just have come to me, I would have done like a mother hen would. I would just take you right under my wing. That's what he's saying to us. That's what, don't worry about life. You just worry about nothing because I have your back. I've got your back. Don't worry. I mean, the Marines, they understand this. Nobody left behind. They risked their life to save a fellow leatherneck. They'll put it out there, give it their all. Because you know what? They're not going to leave him behind. Christ is the same with us. And he done it by being nailed to a cross. Nailed to a cross. But when he was nailed to the cross, listen, he could not leave you behind. God has made some wonderful promises. And then there is his promises reward. Mark 10:29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first will be last. Listen to what he says here. This is really neat. You will receive now houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children. You know why that is? Because we're family. He's not promised us millions of dollars and many homes here. He's promising us family. You will be able to be identified no matter where you are when you get around my people. Because you'll have homes everywhere. You'll have mothers everywhere that love you. Brothers everywhere that love you. Mothers everywhere. Sisters everywhere. And it's, listen to me. It is all about being in the family of God. He rewards us with being, with the feeling of belonging. And he assures us that whenever we follow him, there's a reward. But there's a sacrifice that has to be made. That sacrifice has to be made is this, not me, but you. Not what I want, but what you want. And to give up, he said, houses, family, land, whatever it might be, for the gospel's sake, you will be rewarded. And it's not something that is likely to go away. I can tell you what. When a Christian falls, what we should do as brothers, listen, if something happened to my brother or sisters, you are compelled from love to care. But in the world we live in, if something happens, we want to stand clear, when the church should be moving to love, to support, and to care about. The reward is having more help than what we need. I like that thought, don't you? That there's somebody somewhere all around me that's going to care about me because I am sold out to him. I've met people for the first time. And all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, you know that you are connected. That y'all are brothers in the Lord. And it's just that connection. You know, everybody you don't connect with, because everybody's spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit. But when they're a child of God, they're there. They're there. I remember doing a revival, and this little woman, I don't know how old she was. I'm not a judge of age. She looked to be, well, I guess she was the mother of the church. She was probably late 80s. And she said, they fed us every night. And so one night she said, "Preacher, every time we have a visiting pastor here, I always like to cook him my special dish." And she said, "And I'm going to bring it to you tomorrow night." Their mama was cooking me something. And she brought that stuff out there. And I can tell you what, it reminded me of mama's cooking, because that woman could cook. And she set that casserole down in front of me. And she said, "Here, preacher, make sure you get some of this, because I cooked this for you." I had no idea who that lady was. But you know what? She looked at me as being her son. Why? Because we had the same father. We were connected. Whether young or old, people does things for each other when they love each other. And that's what God has for us. Listen, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great in delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Samuel said, "God, what had you rather had? Have you rather have us sacrificing, or would you rather us obey you?" Well, guess what? He said, "It's better to obey." He has called us to these things. He's called us to love and care and support and work and do the things that he's asked us to do. And that's just simple stuff. Nary one of us this week. And that's a good word right there, nary. All right, that's a good English word, nary. Y'all know what that is? There's not a nary one of us. Nary one of us that cannot give him our all. We just have to remember that he's given us life. And here we have hope. Then he does something else for us. Another gift he lets us have is he lets us have revelation. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. Well, she did give us the book of Revelation. It is from him. But no, this is about revelation of God. "He that hath my commandments," John 14:21, and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father and will love him and will manifest myself to him. God said, if you will be obedient to me, I will show myself to you. That's what the word manifest means. He said, you can see me in everything, but you got to obey me. You got to love me. You got to care. And you got to be focused, not on this world, but on him. Keep our eyes set on him. And when we do that, we will have an understanding of who he is. Now, we can't understand God in the perplexity of who God is. But he's given us a really good glimpse at someone who did. Because the Bible says he is the perfect image of God. And that man was Jesus Christ. If we want to know who God is and what he's like, look at Jesus. He will show us exactly who the Father is. Because the Father, listen, Jesus said, I've not done one thing. Everything I've done, I've either seen the Father do it or I've heard it, what he said. That's where we should be. We need to look and not focus on what we think we can do. But we need to focus and see what God is telling us through his word. We don't need a bunch of crazy stuff. I don't know anything crazier to this world than somebody taking that book up, the Bible, reading it and believing it and doing it. That's crazy to the world. But to the Christian, it is honey on our lips. It is the sweet taste of God's great grace and mercy to us. God is rich and full in all that there is. Jesus promised us that if we obey him, he will show himself to us. But listen. Listen to what Paul said to Romans. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We're not going to have these things if we just focus on this world. We're not going to have peace. We're not going to have that life. We're not going to be accept. We're just, our life will be miserable. And there are some Christians that are miserable. He said, carnal mindedness is death. Now, I'm not saying that, he's not saying here that carnal minded Christian is the death of their soul. No, it's the death of relationship. It is relationship with the only one that I know that can take the situations of life and straighten it out if we don't focus on this world. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man, the human man, just the ordinary man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Ordinary people can't get it. They don't see it. They don't understand it. Because the Bible says here, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the Spirit has to be living within you if you're going to discern the things of God. We can't know the things of God except the Spirit show it to us. So if we are going to be what God wants to be, if we're going to experience the revelation of God, it's going to be because we are walking in the light. That we are walking with him. And then he gives us a fellowship, a friendship with God. I don't know of a better friend than him, do you? You know, it's hard to find a friend who is able not to tell what you said. I've seen people, they weren't like a refrigerator. You couldn't put nothing in them because they couldn't keep it. It would spoil, and they'd have to share it. But we need a friendship with God because we can tell him our sad stories, and he'll listen. We can tell him our weaknesses, and he'll listen. We can tell him we don't care about something, and he'll listen. We can say, God, I don't like that, and he'll listen. You know why? Because we cannot offend the perfect God, the all-knowing, because we can't tell him anything he doesn't already know. So if we say, hey, God, you know, I'm just a sorry rascal, guess what? He already knows that. Say, Lord, you know, I just don't believe this stuff right here. He knows that. We just need to say, Lord, just help my unbelief. Lord, show me something here. See, this thing of being a friend with God, we have to sell ourselves out. Listen to this now. You are a friend of God because John 15:15 says this, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He has not kept nothing from us, and we can't keep nothing from him. Now, I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything. Matter of fact, I can hardly remember yesterday. I mean, I don't know what that is. I guess getting old or something. I don't know. But I forget names, places, things. I just got words. Sometimes they just, like a bird, they fly right out of my mind. But he never forgets anything. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. He did not come to reconcile perfect man to him. He came to reconcile rotten men to him. Those that were deprived, those that were so wicked, so vile, so far away from him, that did not love him, but would hate him, despise him, and eventually nail him to the cross. That's who he came to reconcile. He's come in this world so that he might make us as if we've never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? When I stand before God, it'll be as if I've never sinned. Why? Because Jesus Christ has taken all my sins. Not just one or two of them. Not just those that I had committed before I knew him. But all that I've ever committed and all that I will ever commit, God's done and taken them to the cross. Already. So see those things and what he's done for us. It's wonderful. And my favorite scripture in the Bible is this. It's the first verse I think I ever learned when I become a Christian. Listen to this. You are a friend of God, not by your choosing, but by his. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. Wow. He's brought us into his family, made us his friends. He's taken us, adopted us. We are now sons and daughters of God, and he is friends with us. And let me tell you something else he's given us. He gives us joy. Only we're not experiencing joy. Joy is something that makes us rejoice. Joy is something that fills us with great hope and satisfaction. You know, like on Christmas morning, whenever you open up those presents and all those things, exactly what you wanted is there, guess what? We have earthly joy. But this joy that he wants to give us is a joy that whenever your head, like Paul, was on a chopping block, you say, I'm ready to be poured out like an offering. Whether living or dead, it's Christ. That's hard to say, isn't it? That's hard to really have it in your heart. But yet he is the one who has given us that joy. John 15:9-11 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Keep ye my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. He's saying here, this is hard to say. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He knew they were going to slay him. He knew that he was going to have to hang on that cross. He knew he was going to suffer such shame and disgrace, pain and agony. He knew that was happening. And yet, he still made his way to the cross. And here he says, the joy that I have, I'm giving it to you so that your joy can be full. See, because if we do not know him, if our names have not been settled in the book of life, if we have not trusted him when he has made himself known to us in every avenue of life, we can't have joy. We can have some excitement, because excitement is stirred by what goes on around us, but joy that is deep within us is like this. It's a joy unspeakable that you can't explain. In the worst of circumstances, you're just filled with the hope that is in Christ. You are smiling because you know that it's all right. Joy is what God gives us. John, writing in 1 John, said this: but if we walk in the light as his, in the light we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Paul said this in Romans: for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You are secured in his hands. He's just named every single thing possible that anyone might say that could take you out of his hands, and he's just said they can't. And just for as he said that, he said that his will never perish. Never perish. Those that belong to him. And then the last one. We don't like this one too much. He gives us trials. I think the church is under a trial. When this is over, is the gospel going to look the same as it did last year? Is it going to be different? Well, trials either makes us, shakes us, or breaks us. It's all how we take it. It's all how we see that. But Jesus has warned us. He said in 2 Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly, you're going to be pointed at, laughed at, made fun of, rejected. Nobody wants to hear us. But he said, listen, if you follow me, you're not going to be the most popular person on the block. Why? Because trials on every hand makes us. When we fall down, he picks us up. And listen, this life is not easy. Certainly not easy right now. But you know what's not easy? Is living life without Christ. And here's the thing about it. I remember somebody said to me one time doing a funeral. And they said, well, that we were talking about a funeral. Somebody had died in the family. And they said, well, he can't do the funeral because he's not a Christian. I said, you don't have to be a Christian to do a funeral. You can be a heathen and do a funeral. There's plenty of them that does the funerals. We can do anything we want to on this right now. And you can have anything in this world that you want. That you can afford. But you can have nothing When death knocks at your door, you have nothing but Christ. I've done a lot of funerals over the years. And as I've always said, I've never seen one of them take the money with them. They left it for the kids to fight over. Me and one has decided we're just going to spend every dime we got so our youngest don't have to fight over it. Blessed are you that are persecuted for his name's sake. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, filled with joy, with the promises of God. In the worst situations of life, God loves us. Luke, Jesus speaking in Luke wrote this, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Have you ever read that right there? He said, you're blessed when they do that. You're a blessed person if they hate you and they separate themselves from you and don't keep company with you. They don't want to hang out with you. Don't worry about it. Jesus said, you're blessed. We hate to lose friends. But when you come to Jesus and you start looking like Jesus and acting like Jesus, friends sort of flee. But listen to me, while they're fleeing, you might be the only Jesus they ever see. So don't give in. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. You're loved. God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to be a part of his family. God wants to show himself to you. So don't let this world get us down. Let's just stand up and say, Lord, it's you, not me. It's you that I want to walk in, not me. And surrender ourselves to him. Because his promises are sure. They will not change. He will never, ever not do what he said he would do. So have you lost hope? Are you losing hope? Are you discouraged? Are you weighed down from the burdens of life and the trials that we're going through? Yeah, we are. We do get that way. But when we do, he is our place of comfort. He is the cleft of the rock, and he will hide us in it. He loves you. Let's pray.